Let me bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. I many times ask brethren to look around. I know we have company with us today. Be sure, if you did not receive a bulletin, please share. And if you didn't get one, you're very welcome to go out in the foyer and pick one up off the table. Just don't keep going. You'll come back in. So glad they're with us. All right. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning concerning, and I titled the lesson, The Happy Ethiopian Nobleman. Luke records that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, said, "Arise and the south to the way that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." Philip, as the story was read to us, reaches this stretch of the desert. He's alongside the highway in the desert, or the road, and he sees this entourage coming toward him. And one look at that caravan, and no doubt it was a very impressive sight. Probably Philip might be thinking, "Oh, it's a parade." But he soon learned that the caravan contained, as the scripture said, an Ethiopian of great authority. He was subject to Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And he was in charge of all her treasury. Wow. And amazingly, this Ethiopian invites Philip to come sit with him and discuss the scriptures that he's reading. After what was perhaps a lengthy discussion, don't know how long they talked, but the Ethiopian interrupts Philip's message and sees water and he requests to be baptized. Wow. No doubt he had some prior knowledge, but one lesson from Philip. And he asked to be baptized. As you likely know, many noblemen did not obey the gospel at this time, this point in history. Remember Governor Felix, he heard Paul preach. You think, man, this is the Apostle Paul preaching the lesson. This is Paul, who no doubt is very persuasive and knowledgeable. He's very capable of instructing. And he preaches to Governor Felix, but Felix replies, "Go your way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call you." Wow. The Apostle Paul's preaching again in the book of Acts. This time it's to King Agrippa. And he's reasoned with Agrippa concerning the scriptures. And Agrippa says, Almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. So close. Now we have an Ethiopian in our text. A treasurer. He's one of the few noblemen who answer the call of the gospel. So in our lesson, you almost have to ask the question, what was it? Or what caused this Ethiopian to received the word when many other noblemen did not? What makes this Ethiopian and this nobleman different? So let's look at the lesson and look at the Ethiopian's heart, or look at his mindset, because it does set him apart from so many others who have heard the gospel or good news message. Number one, I think he had an honest heart. And I make that as a conclusion. The text doesn't say, let me tell you about an Ethiopian with an honest heart. I think he was honest. He's in charge of the queen's treasury. And I'm just guessing that the queen has vetted this person know, so much so that she would entrust him with the treasury. So he must be an honest man. And an appointment to this position, this treasury position, suggests integrity. But it's nothing compared to the honesty he showed with far greater treasure, the gospel. The gospel message that Philip preached to him. He had an honest heart. We don't read of any delays after hearing this message. There, we don't read in the text of any arguments. There's no excuses that he presents to Philip. We only read of his receptiveness and his obedience. Interesting. The questions he asked were asked out of a desire to know what the inspired text is talking about in verse 34. And when he learns the truth in verse 35, where it says Philip preached unto him Jesus, he gladly receives it and he obeys it. An honest heart. When the chariot approaches a body of water, he asks Philip in verse 36, what hinders or is what can slow me down from being baptized? So now we come, well, what about us? What about my heart or my mindset? I want to be honest with the Word of God. And by that I mean, when we really want to know the truth, as this Ethiopian did, and will we hear it and receive it with meekness and with all honesty? James chapter 1, verse 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Sometimes if we're just listening, if we're only hearers of the word, well, we deceive ourselves. Because the word demands obedience. When the gospel is preached, it demands that we follow it. We accept it into our minds, believing, and adopt an attitude of discipleship. I want to be a student of the word. I want to be a follower of Jesus, the master teacher. So the Ethiopian, I think he had an honest heart. Second, he had a hungry heart. How a hungry heart? Someone asked, how hungry was he? Well, he was so hungry for God's message that he traveled to Ethiopia, or from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, to worship. Wow. He's making a journey of several hundred miles to worship. The traveling conditions, as you would know, are not the best. He's not on a super highway. There's not a diamond lane. No air conditioning, no 7-Eleven. It's an open air chariot on a dusty road. He doesn't let the distance or the conditions to stop him from the journey. How far did you travel to get here? How hard was it for you to come to Bible class or worship? The Ethiopian, it didn't matter about the distance, the hardship of the journey. I'm going to where people are gathered together for worship. Don't let distance and direction and difficulty or detours or hardships stop you from getting to the building when it's time for Bible study and worship. That's the example of the Ethiopian. I'm just wondering why pews are empty this morning. Amazing. We have bad weather? How come some pews are empty? What's the problem? What's holding the empty spaces people back? I know I'm the preacher, the Bible class teacher, but I still wonder. I know I have to be here. In a sense, I would be here anyway. What can I say, or what can you say to people who should be sitting beside you to move them to attend? To make the journey. And it's not difficult. I'm not mad at you. I'm just pointing out the Ethiopian is happy because he had a hungry heart. Jesus said there's in Matthew 5 verse 6, there's a blessing for those who hunger and thirst. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then you'll be filled. Everyone would go, oh, I just feel so empty in faith. Well, why don't you get hunger and thirst after righteousness? Oh, I just feel so weak spiritually. I'm not up to going today. You're not hungering and thirsting. Period. Some of my brethren amaze me. Well, no, they don't. I've been around too long. It's almost expected now. I can tell you who's going to be here and who's not. I can tell you who's going to be here one Sunday out of four. I already know. Just amazing. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee. I wish I could instill that in my brethren. To thirst and hunger and long to assemble. This man also traveled all that way to stand outside the temple or the congregation. Eunuchs were not allowed in the temple. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. They'll not enter the congregation. It would be impressive for this man to travel all that way to sit in an honored position. But this man travels all that way to stand outside the building. He's in the parking lot. I think it might be the first drive-in church in the Bible. Travel that far to stand outside? What kept you away? He also, it reveals hunger and heart because he's reading, on his way home, he's reading a scroll. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. I don't know where he received it. Maybe he purchased it when he was in Jerusalem. He might have had it already with him for the whole journey. But the point is, in the story, he leaves Jerusalem, begin that long journey home, and he's reading Scripture. What about us? Let's make the application. Because I want a hungry heart. You know, when we travel, we take in the sights. We might read a novel. Might recline in the seats. This man's reading Scripture on a bumpy road. When it's time for a Bible class or worship assembly, are you willing to make the journey? Number three. I'll keep going here. Number three. You got a hope. Been easy for this man to be filled with pride. He could have said to himself when Philip approaches him, hey, I'm a great authority. I'm in charge of the queen's treasury. He could have said with pride, it doesn't matter what I don't know. In his high estate, though, he displays a humble position. And then here this stranger comes up and asks him, do you understand what you're reading? That's an innocent enough question. But he could have taken offense at that. Do you know who I am? You see this entourage? Nobody does it. Pride could have caused him to look down on Philip and say, get out of here. He could have with pride said, you know, I can figure this out by myself. I don't need you. But he humbly admitted he needed some guidance in verse 31. Now, that's not easy to do. He admitted he didn't know about whom Isaiah was speaking. On reading this Old Testament letter. And even though he's not born a Jew, the Ethiopian, perhaps, I'm not sure where he gained the prior knowledge from, but he might have been a proselyte or just a God-fearing person to the Old Testament Jewish religion. Religiously, just maybe, probably, developed a Jewish mindset. Because after studying the text, Philip preaching from the text that he's reading, he's convinced that God sent his son to provide salvation. Philip preached to him Jesus. And then he confesses in verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it's not enough. He's asking, here's water, hinder anything stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, he commanded, stop the chariot. Stop. This man has a humble heart. I've received your message concerning Jesus, Philip. I want to be baptized. So what about us? Let's bring it home again. When something we do not understand is explained, I hope all of us can continue to be taught from God's Word. But again, as James said in chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word. I know there's a blessing in hearing, blessing in reading. A greater blessing is in doing. And last, number four, he had a happy heart. Happy heart. Of course, I think he was happy before he was baptized. Perhaps, I'm just guessing, maybe. He was a very contented, happy man before he began the journey. He was happy to go to Jerusalem to worship. Might have been happy to have that opportunity to worship. He's happy to be reading from Isaiah on the way home. He's happy to have Philip or to have met Philip on the way home. He's probably thinking, this is the best day of my life. But it was about to get better because he was baptized. He's happier now because he has remission of sins. His joy is not left to our imagination. Oh, I'm just guessing how happy he was before. But I know how happy he was after he obeyed that gospel message. Verse 39, they came up out of the water. Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. Ah, I know he was happy now. Psalm 32, verse 1. Didn't put that one at the very bottom. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So let's bring it home again. What about us? What about us? What will our actions reveal about our hearts and our mindset? So that's the lesson today. Always at the close of a lesson, a message that's preached, you haven't asked me what hinders you from being baptized, but I'll assume the question is on your heart, so I'll answer. Same as Philip did. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you'd be baptized. Just as with this Ethiopian, you need to hear. He didn't know. He said, I don't understand. Tell me. Instruct me. You need to hear. Second, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. God so loved the world, he sent his Son. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe. Must believe. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Well, I don't want to die in my sins. Then number three, in this process of becoming a Christian and having my sins forgiven, you'll want to repent, turn your life around. James, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then number four, you'll want to confess your faith. That's what the Ethiopian did. Philip, the Ethiopian said, well, I want to be baptized. You can if you believe. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. When those four things are in place, then you can be baptized. Be baptized. Rise to walk, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, in newness of life. New life begins right here. Not when you hear, not when you believe only, not when you just turned your life around, not when you just said, Lord, I believe. When you're baptized. Don't be satisfied with 4 out of 5. Don't think, God, I've done the majority of the steps. If you're not in, you're out. If you're not saved, you're lost.